I know there's only two buttons on that thing to push, but I always push the wrong one on Tim's little recorder here. Good morning, everyone. What was this weekend? Valentine's Day.
And of all, I'm here because I feel that I need to be here. If I did what I felt like doing, I'd be home asleep.
I'm sure.
I bet you would. Sorry, I needed to go with you.
I didn't get home.
So, of all things, last night when I was flipping through channels, I found The Notebook.
Oh,
it's such a wonderful movie, but the time I went to bed, my eyes were red, my eyes were swollen. It just hit me different yesterday, and I thought, of all things, darling, why did you end up on that? But let's ask God to guide us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord, and we thank you for this lesson. All the lessons that are given to us, dear Lord, are to embolden us, to make us stronger, to make us really search deep for our feelings and our motives and think through before we act on things. We just ask that you, your Spirit gives us the lesson that we need to take from this today, dear Lord, that we will all, our goal is to serve you and to honor you and to love you. And in your name, I pray. Okay, the title of our lesson today is Holy Conduct. Now, you all know when you were a kid that there was someone you really looked up to. It could have been your parent. It could have been an aunt or an uncle. Could have even been an older sibling. But there was always somebody that you thought, no matter what was going on, you wanted to reach out to that person and see what they thought about it. If they could help guide you through the situation that you're in or whatever it is. We all have somebody like that we look up to. Our lesson today is going to teach us that the one we need to look up to is God. Because what we know about him, he will never forsake us. He will never let us down. And I always get a little nervous when I look at a Sunday school lesson and there's only four verses of scripture. And you think, what can we possibly get out of four little verses? But let me tell you what, they are jam-packed.
And they are four sections, so I didn't have to combine them.
Yeah, you didn't. You just one verse at a time, and that was good.
Right.
Our outline today, there are four different parts of this lesson. The first is what not to do. Now, if you're trying to give somebody advice, do you normally tell them what not to do before you tell them what to do? Generally, I think that's the general course of things. And why do you tell them what not to do? Because, and I think we've talked about this before, it's been tried before, and you know what the result is. This person may not know how it's going to turn out. So that's, we know, we are taught what not to do, and then we are taught what to do. We're also going to learn what our motivation is and what our attitude should be. You know, when I was talking about, we all had someone that we wanted, that we looked up to, that we kind of tried to pattern our life after. Do you remember the WWJD? What would Jesus do? Well, I looked that up. And actually, see, I thought it just happened in the last few years. But it actually happened. There was a man that wrote a book in 1896. His name was Charles Sheldon. And the book was called In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? And then in the early 1990s, it became a phenomenon with all of the little wristbands and the t-shirts and stuff everywhere. Just WWJD was, that was all anybody said. And they especially said it when they thought you had done something wrong. Okay. So it was more of a, It was more of a, I can't even think of the word. But WWJD is a belief and a moral imperative that demonstrates your love for Jesus. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The greatest form of love is obedience. And I think that's the best thing that we can do, is to show people who we are, is through our obedience to God and to His Word. Also, the fact that there's only four verses in the lesson today, and it also starts in the middle of the chapter, which, so you have to look back at what those first 13 verses of 1 Peter were. And the first 13 verses, Peter was praising God for His mercy, and for His mercy in causing us to be born again. He rejoiced that we have an imperishable inheritance waiting for us. Okay? So then he goes on and he says, we are called to act in response to what God has already done. He's done all that He can do, right? He sent His Son. He died for us. We are to look forward to and set our hope on the future grace that God will give us when Jesus comes again. And we are to live every day as if today might be the day. The song now from C.C. Winings, Let Today Be the Day.
Come, Jesus, come.
Love that song. Let Today Be the Day. It's just wonderful. Okay, so first verse, 14. Somebody read that for me, please.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts.
Oh, so this is what we are not to do. And he says, because we need to be obedient children, we're not going to fall for some of the things that we did prior to our salvation. He's telling us that there has to be real change. Before we knew God, we didn't know anything. And sometimes, even though we know God, we know very little. It's all up to us. How much are you going to put into it for what you're getting out of it? God adopts us as His children. We are in His family. But is everyone God's child? No. How do you get to be God's child?
To be a believer.
Yes, you have to be.
You have to have the blood of Jesus on you.
You have to receive salvation. And what is the first thing that happens when you receive salvation? You tell people. You claim it.
I just checked over.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's had a time with that. That's what's wrong with my face. I treated a skin cancer this weekend. But anyway. Okay. When God saved us, He took away our ignorance. Now, that's kind of hard for us to believe, because I don't know everything about everything, and I don't know anyone that knows everything about everything. But we all should know something about everything, you know, and it's what are we going to put into it?
Well, it helps us to recognize those faults and those sins.
Sure.
You know, before you know Jesus, you try to tell yourself, but once you get salvation,
mm-hmm.
you have that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit does
yeah.
it. You want to admit it or not sometimes.
It'll bring you down real quick.
No, because
yeah.
you did.
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
So when we were saved, we were immediately transformed into a new person. We should have different goals. We should have different thoughts, because we are taking off the old self and putting on Christ. Another thing we have to do, we have to actively seek to develop new habits. Just because you get up one morning and say, okay, today I'm going to be really good. nothing is going to get in my way today. It's going to be a good day. And then before you know it, something...
When you take your next step, something...
Something happens, and there you go. You're off your game.
You stub that little toe.
Yeah, you're off your game. But what do we know about Jesus? He's waiting right there. He's saying, come, just take my hand. Just take my hand. That's all you have to do. Take my hand. I'll go through this with you. But it says, do we put away our former lust in our ignorance? So in our ignorance, we didn't know the difference from right and wrong. But once we are saved, once we have accepted Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit, as Debbie said, that's that little voice inside of us telling us that we do know the difference between right and wrong. And it's telling us the right things to do. Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments on that part?
The New King James Version uses the word conforming instead of fashioning.
Fashioning, okay. Okay, verse 15, what to do? Conversation. Okay, we know that God is holy, right? So he has called us. He's holy. We are called to resemble him in all of our actions. What is God's true character?
Love.
He doesn't lie. He's faithful. He's faithful always to forgive us. He doesn't kill. He doesn't murder. He wants us to imitate. When it says, be ye holy as he is holy, we are to imitate him. Now, that is a pretty big job. And I'll be the first to admit, living in this old sinful world, it's hard to be good all the time. I keep going back to this. Traffic is the real thing that really gets me. I get so upset at people on the road, and it's just like you're sitting there yelling, and who's hearing you? Nobody. Do you feel better? Probably not. You just feel like a real idiot. But
no,
traffic.
I usually have to say, forgive me.
Yeah. But traffic is one thing that really gets us. Well, when I said that God was truthful, he was faithful, he doesn't murder, we have to truly know him before we can emulate him. And if we're living in sin, we will be blinded and have muddled thinking. Are there such things as small sins?
No.
Yes, there are.
There are.
And I didn't realize this till I go back to Ezekiel. And he says, but there are more abominable sins. Well, the sin that he was referring to was jealousy. Because they talked about, here you have jealousy. And he said, but let me tell you, there are more abominable sins. So, I agree, a sin is a sin. But do we tend to brush aside the little ones?
Oh, yes.
How about, okay, your wife's bought a new dress. You're going to a party. She says, honey, does this make me look fat? Are you going to tell a little white lie and say no? Or are you going to be brutally honest? Okay. You could have picked a different color. Oh, no. That wouldn't go. That wouldn't fly at all. Those are little sins. And that is a sin because what?
You didn't tell the truth.
You didn't tell the truth, but you truly love that person. You truly love that person. And do you want that person to hurt? No.
You're saying it not to hurt, so they won't be hurt.
So they won't be hurt. You're just trying to save their feelings, yes.
Don't ask me that question.
Yeah, well, you know that's a loaded question when they ask, so.
I told Cheryl the truth one time.
One time. So you learned by example.
Yeah.
I think we've all been down that road. I think we have. And how about when someone has been really sick and they've lost a lot of weight and you can just tell by the color of their skin that they're not where they used to be, but you say, oh, you look so good. Now, is that bad? No, because you are looking at their heart. And their heart is good. Their heart is good. Yeah, it's compassion. But you can't make a habit of that kind of stuff. I think those little ones like that, when you're trying to spare someone's feeling or you're displaying compassion, you're doing what would Jesus do? He would say, don't hurt anybody. Don't hurt anybody. There's nothing
in it. I can tell you what not to do. When Sunny and I, maybe I told you, the road was bad and we needed a new rock on the road. And after Sunny came, so cheery like, you know, and he said, you know, Deb, really? He said, yeah, I think we can use these cookies.
Brutal honesty.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I bet he didn't do that again. Okay.
I'll whip you up.
But I will say she's learned how to bake cookies since.
Oh, I know. Yes, she definitely has. She made ammonia cookies this year for the Morgan reunion that sold at the auction, silent auction, for $20 a dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty good. I didn't get any, but everybody that got them said they were.
Never heard of that.
Ammonia? Yeah, you get the little dry powdered ammonia at your drugstore.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
I got some lately, but he hasn't made me any cookies.
Oh, well, you have to get on to him.
I made them all the time.
Yeah. They don't taste ammonia-y. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have that taste because it bakes out of them, but they are good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a sugar cookie kind of with the ammonia.
Yeah.
But they're not super sweet.
No. Lemon and
onion. Will we ever achieve sinless perfection in this life?
No.
No. It's just not possible in this world that we live in because of traffic. and because of those little white lies, we just will not be perfect. But is God going to turn us away?
No.
No, he will not. He will not. Okay. Now we're going to talk about our motivation. What should our motivation be?
Because it is written.
Be ye holy, I am holy. That's our motivation. God's holiness is the reason we are called to be holy. Would he ask us to do anything that he hadn't already done? That he hadn't already conquered? That he hadn't already paved the way for us, he would not put that on us. No. We are never alone. Okay. Now our attitude. Okay. If you call on the Father, what's that? How do we call on the Father?
Pray.
We pray. Without respect of persons. Does he know? Does he make any difference between Jody's prayer and my prayer? No, he doesn't, without respect of persons. And he judges every man according to his work. We're all going to be judged. But what have we been told forever? You can't get to heaven on good works. And why are we told that?
Because you can't work your way to have the blood of Jesus on you to be able to get to heaven.
But the blood of Jesus should cause us to do good works.
Right.
Isn't that right? The
right.
gift that we have received mm-hmm. should cause us to do good works. Our conduct should reflect that. What we do reflects on who we are. Okay, and it says we are not saved. We are not saved by our works. I remember we are not saved by our works, but when we get to heaven, there are rewards. And I got to thinking when I was going over that Haman Plogger preached on that once, and I don't even know which church it was. It might have been down at Johnson, I'm thinking. It was January of 1996. And he told us what God's rewards are, and I wrote that down. There will be a crown of rejoicing, and that's what you get for winning souls to the Lord. That's for witnessing. There will be a crown of glory, and that's for your discipleship or keeping in tune with God's word. There will be a crown of righteousness. That's for looking for Jesus to come. We are looking every day for Jesus to come. There'll be the crown of life, and that was because we were faithful unto death. And there will be the crown of mastery or victors, the crown of victors, the incorruptible crown, and that's because we have survived rigorous ordeals. So those are the five crowns that we'll get for the different things, and there's a scripture that goes with each one of those. But I just happened to remember that when I was going through this lesson of the crowns that we can get. Now, will we get them all? Okay, how about the thief on the cross?
How about the what?
The thief on the cross. Did he earn any crowns?
Yes.
No.
He was on the cross and he realized who Christ was. And he says, "Thou art the Son of God." And Christ said, "This day thou wilt be with me in paradise." That man died on the cross. He had no way of accomplishing any good works. So he won't have any crowns, but his life is with Jesus.
Are these
still
the crowns we put at Jesus' feet?
I don't know.
I just think of Hanan and
yeah.
Through that is just, that's the crown.
Crowns we earn and
given to that present to Jesus.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay,
that's
see.
That's a Tim question.
Yeah, that's a Tim question. Yeah, he's not here. Okay.
We are to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus.
I assume these were crowns that we get.
Yeah, we get them and we
give them back.
And we cast those as an offering at the foot of Jesus, is my understanding.
Well, see, there's a question.
Can I
see
him?
Because, I mean, what else would you have to lay at the feet of Jesus? That your reward.
Oh, yeah, jewels. Jewels and the crowns. One common error that in the church is to think that since Christ has covered all of our sins, the way we live does not matter. I don't know any church that preaches that, but we do have people that think that they can go ahead and do things and it won't matter. Another thing I read in here that I thought was pretty good, you have a daily Bible scripture. And it says, a chosen people, God chose you. You were a nobody, belonging nowhere, but now you are part of God's chosen people. That made me think of that song, The Beatles. I'm just a nowhere man, living in a nowhere land, thinking I was somebody or nobody. That made me think of that song. Why is the main reason that we give obedience to God, to Jesus? What should be our main reason?
Love.
Yeah, love. That's why if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Everything that we do in our walk with Christ should be out of love, displaying our love. Our love is a symbol of our gratitude, of our thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for that we just kind of gloss over sometimes. I mean, we've all got roofs over our heads. I just had to have a new furnace put in, but I had the money to have it done, so that was good. He takes care of us in little ways, and I think I forget to thank him. I forget to thank him a lot, and I really should be better at that.
I can't tell you how many times a day that, and these are just little things, but I say that probably within 5 minutes I will find that thing. I'm going to find that. And it's even just something little like that.
The little things.
Looking for something little. And
little things amount to big things.
Yes.
That was the thing about that movie last night, The Notebook. There at the end, he'd been reading that all to her, and there at the end it was the book that she had written, and she says, "Read this to me so that I will remember." And really good. But we do forget things. Anybody questions or comments, or did we get it all?
You know, I was, and I, it's setting.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And you know, when you think about it, honestly, folks, it's not that hard where we live here. Now, some of these big cities, the way they talk, the way people are and everything, I can't imagine. Remember when we went to New York that summer, and we went into a Roy Rogers restaurant? And we were all there eating, and people there said to us, "You all must be Christians." I mean, just because of the way we acted in that environment,
yeah.
Which
there was one couple that were looking for a church.
Oh.
That spoke to Ori Ash, and Ori brought Craig over, gave them a contact.
Share a little
in that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
So that's why God put us in that Roy Rogers.
Uh-huh.
But yes, there were people that, you know, some of them just looked at us, and others made the comment, "You all must be Christians."
Well, we're always where we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We're always where we're meant to be.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
I mean, it is. Just,
who'd have thunk it?
I think about coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I came here at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
My needs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We love you too.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see Lindsay today. Last Sunday there were 6 of us, you might see. But we did. We had a good Sunday school, I think. Okay. Golden text: as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust. Put away old things. Put on the new. Take away the old. Put on the new. Oh, okay. And then we have practical points.
When we become God's children,
we are no longer ignorant. Our ways of thinking must change.
Mm-hmm. Calling on the Father is a defining.
Where can I go but to the Lord? What would Jesus do?
We must have a reverent fear of God.
Yeah, that was another thing I was thinking back when we were being raised. Our parents would tell us something, and you'd ask them to do something, and they would say no, and you'd say why, and they say, "Well, because." That was the worst answer you could get. Well, because why?
Because I said so.
Because I said so. That just wasn't good enough. Because just wasn't good enough, was it? Okay.
Arlene, if you don't like traffic, don't ever go to Atlanta.
Don't worry. I've heard.